Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome in, guys. Episode 47 of Coffee and Chell. I'm Sleeves, joined by my two co-hosts, Kesso and Padre, just like every episode. Let's check in with the boys. Padre, we're going to start with you first. It's been a couple days. What have you been up to? What's going on?
Not much. Just working, and more work. Dude, that's all it is nowadays.
Yo, tell us a little conversation, the name drop of Brady Tkachuk.
Oh, yeah. One of my buddies in St. Louis, he's a local videographer. And he comes out to our pro skates that we have in the summertime. Me being the only guy that's not a pro, but you know, I'm out there, and he does some really cool content. He's been doing these day in a life videos, and he did one for Trent Frederick, who's on the Boston Bruins, and that's from St. Louis. And it just kind of goes behind the scenes with like what he does in the off season. And then I made a little cameo in the episode, and I mean, there's a few goals that went in, but then there was a big save against Brady Tkachuk, you know, and I had to give it to Brady because I always tease him, and we always rib each other back and forth. That's probably like the best part about skating with those guys. It's just everyone just kind of gives it to each other the whole time. You know what I mean?
That's so
dude,
surreal.
The save was the only thing that I saw, so that's all that matters. It was pretty nice.
Dude, it's wild. Dude.
I did. When I made the save, I yelled at his name's Mikey Pilcher, and I said, Pilch, you better get that on video. That better go on the YouTube.
Did it hurt? Was it a rifle?
Luckily, that one, no.
All right, my man. All right, Kesso, you're a little bit, you know, every day by day, things are hopefully getting easier for you as the new dad of the group.
Oh, yeah, for sure, man. I'm just big chilling, you know, with the wife and baby. That's it all day. I go back to work next Monday. So I'm kind of looking forward to that just to actually have some sort of a routine. Yep. We were talking about that before. I feel like I need that. So looking forward to that. But other than that, man, just the same old stuff.
That's awesome, dude. All right, boys. Yeah. Well, we got a big episode. We're going to do the Atlantic Division preview, which does feature probably the loudest teams on social media, so I'm sure the comments will be extra spicy on these takes. But we've also got some NHL news, finally. Like, we've been
doing
this.
First time that we've been doing this podcast that we have, like, news to report on.
So let's start off with Nathan MacKinnon getting the bag, all right? There was rumors. I know Elliot Friedman over the summer talked a lot about, like, maybe, you know, the longer it goes, the potential for like 13 mil, like depending on how far it goes. He gets 12.6, and I love that he got 12.6 because he's like, I want 100 more than McDavid. Like, that's, he's like, I want a little bit more than Connor McDavid. So he is now the highest paid player in the NHL. 8 years, 12.6. What do you boys think of that? Well, Kesso, you give us your thoughts first.
I mean, he deserves it, right? It won't be long until somebody's a little bit over that, right? Mm-hmm. Matthews will top that, but he wasn't going to leave that much off the table, right? If people were going in like, oh, he'll sign for 10 or something. Yeah. Like, no, that's just not going to happen. Like, he got what he deserved. He'll be fine.
I wonder a little bit, like, if they didn't win the cup. Because, like, obviously now it is much more difficult for the Colorado Avalanche to keep their core together for the next, you know, after the next couple of years. But he was on easily the best contract ever. Because when he signed that six-year deal, it looked like he was not a bust, but, like, not Nathan MacKinnon. And then the second he signs that deal, unfortunately for him, he becomes like the second or third best player in the world. So, Padre, what do you think about the deal?
I'm happy as a Blues fan. Because now I think it hamstrings them. I mean, they have to like win again this year almost. If they want, I just think it's going to be, don't get me wrong, him and Makar together with Rantanen and those guys, I mean, they could be really good for all I know, even with like a low, you know, bottom six and back end and whatnot. But it's just such a tough sport. I mean, we've seen the Leafs and they won nothing and they paid those guys all that money. And so far it hasn't worked out. Like, how many teams have had those kind of contracts and won recently? None.
Even it, doesn't happen, right? Like whenever we did, like the Blackhawks talking about it, right? So they won, and then they paid Taves. Like I think
Taves
it's
and Kane both at 10 milli.
Yeah, because I don't think McKinnon would have that same drop off that Taves did. Like, there's no way that happens. So I think they'd be fine in that. But and keep going.
And I just feel like they paid them for those cups, right? Like you said with Kane and Taves. Mm-hmm. So it's like that. Like maybe Sleazy, like he said, you know, with McKinnon, would he have asked for 12.6? Who knows? I mean, for years now, we've heard he's just like his buddy Crosby. Yeah. He's not gonna, you know, ask for the most money. Well, he just asked for the most money. And now they also had, you know, a guy like Cale Makar come out of nowhere in a way because no one knew he was
going to
be
like that,
you know, this good. I mean, everyone thought he was really good, but I don't think anybody thought that he was going to be this good. And in a few years, you have Devon Toews coming up too. And, you know, whether Devon Toews has been obviously helped by, you know, Makar and stuff, you know, I'm sure there's some of that, but at the same time, he's a good defenseman too. And he's only making 4.1. They're going to be in cap hell soon. And like, don't get me wrong, they have a lot of great talent and they're young, but you know, it comes up quick, you know, and hey, at least I got a cup, right?
Exactly. That's how I like to play. I think that like it's going to come up very quick for them. It reminds me a lot of Tampa with Stamkos and Kucherov and Hedman, really. And now like it's almost the same similar situation because the cap is a little bit more now. But I think what happened in Tampa was that there was like 3 or 4 years where they were just churning out draft picks and AHL prospects that continually. Oh, yeah. Colorado's farm system is toast. Like mm-hmm. I mean, they still have Bo Byram and Gerard were very young, and same with Makar, obviously. But like, I think that once Byram's contract comes up and Newhook, like then there's nothing down there. So you know, that's when you really start to see the crunch there. So Colorado is going to be an absolute animal. They're probably going to run away with the Western Conference yet again, I would think. And it'll be interesting to see how that goes. But yeah, that contract that kicks in next year.
I think the cap's going to go up too.
Same.
A lot.
I heard there was a rumor of like 8 million.
Yeah, and like, I mean, before COVID, there was rumors that then like during what we're in right now, this time, it could have gone up to 100 million.
100.
So, I mean, it's not unrealistic to think, like, let's say in 5 years, like, it could be, I mean, 6 years could be up to 100. We don't know. I mean, the NHL apparently just made the most money they ever made or whatever this past year with, like, the TV deals and all that stuff. Yeah. So it's like, you never know. And these GMs and these owners, they know more than we do. So at the end of the day, like, you know, the only difference with them to Tampa is Tampa has no state income tax.
Yeah.
And they're always able to finagle those guys and be like, hey, you want to come down? Yeah, come down here and live in nice weather. We're like, you know, live in Denver and, you know, I mean, Denver's nice, but it's not Tampa.
It's funny. They're going to have to pay back all that escrow from the COVID year because the owners fronted the bill. That was really bad. But it's wild. I know Gary gets booed, you know, and everyone hates Gary Bettman, but I feel like it's people that don't, I feel like it's younger fans maybe, and maybe they're just hip to booing him because to boo him. But like,
Hey, you interviewed that guy, didn't you?
he pumped my tires. I love Gary. No, adding Seattle, like what that does is it adds in an entire season of sellouts. And I think that people don't realize how many millions of dollars more that is that can allow the cap to go back up. And man, you know, those big contracts, what we're seeing now just in the landscape is like we're getting 8-year deals at very young ages. I think what happened with the Sharks is they were giving out 8-year deals at the end of their primes or like the beginning of the end of their primes or like late 20s. And those are the dangerous contracts. A lot now is what's happening is that teams are locking up their players for like 8 years at like 24, which has a risk because maybe they don't become and their trajectory doesn't go up. But man, like Makar at 9 before this season is absurd to think now because he would have gotten 12 or more than he would have been 11.6. He'd have been 100 more than Carlson, like easily. So, you know, but yeah, he got the bag as was expected. We had some. Man, I feel old today. We had 3 retirements. Yeah. Yandel, Chara, and Subban all retiring from the NHL. Chara, hopefully he doesn't resign with the Alumni Association so we don't get any more MasterChef cards of Chara for a little while. But Yandel and Subban specifically, I think it was Subban's career is kind of wild because he came out of nowhere with Montreal. Like I remember he was a second-round pick, if memory serves. Second or fourth. I think it was second, though. But he came out of nowhere, and I want to say it was during a playoff run.
It was during, I believe,
the year
the
where
Yaroslav Halak playoff run. Yeah, because he came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
They ended up upsetting, I think it was the Capitals in the first round.
Yep.
And then the Penguins in the second.
Yep.
And like you said, it was pretty much out of nowhere, and like he was just a force in every single game.
Yeah, and then he, you know, they moved on from him for Weber, which is one of the weirdest sideways deals I think it was ever done in the NHL. And you know, it kind of he was still elite there. Like he was a driver on that amazing decor that went to the Cup final. And then obviously New Jersey didn't work out, but because I feel like he started a little bit later, like he wasn't really young when he came, cause he had some AHL years, I think, like, and, you know, now he's over, he's, you know, he's retired on the other end. You've got Chara, dude, I saw the funniest meme because you can't get away from like just taking digs at the Toronto Maple Leafs, dude. Chara is the last player to have ever been in a playoff loss to the Toronto Maple Leafs that is still in the NHL. So now there is no one in the NHL that has ever lost to the Toronto Maple Leafs in the playoffs. So back in his Ottawa days, but you know, it was easily someone who has definitely tried to or stuck around a little too long. And then Yandel was always in the lineup for forever. So, but yeah, those guys are gone, and you're start. I feel like we're starting to get to that age now where. Guys starting to retire, and it's like, dude, I saw their whole career. Like,
I know. I mean, this isn't our generation anymore. It's just the truth, right? Like, once Crosby and Ovi are out, like, that's
really the beginning. It. Like, I feel like you pay attention in sports, really, and get like the ability to form like actual your own opinions when you're like 13, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was 13 when Crosby and Ovechkin like got drafted that year. So, any thoughts on them retiring, Padre?
Yeah, it's crazy. Like you're saying, I feel like we got to see the greatest, like some of the greatest sports athletes ever with Crosby, Ovi, and then like in other sports, you got like Tiger, LeBron. I mean, it's nuts to think that, and I mean, even Tom Brady, I mean, we might've seen the greatest players ever in their sports. It's just, it's crazy to think, like you said, like Subban, I mean, he's still, in my opinion, he's still going to play, but I think he's like, you know what? I've gotten the bag already. I have plenty of money. I'm going to make tons of money in media. Cause
he's going to be a big
he's really good. Yeah, he's really good on TV from what I've seen, at least on ESPN. And, you know, and I think he was probably like looking at a low end deal. And, you know, once you get to that stage of your career, you know, you're on your, you know, you're treading water, basically.
No, absolutely. One more transaction before we get into the preview, a really weird one. And again, Rangers and Stars fans down below, let us know what you think on it. But Nils Lundqvist, the first round pick from 2018. If I have that correct, I believe the 2018 draft from the New York Rangers, he went in the first round. He gets moved to Dallas for a conditional first round pick in 2023. It is top 10 protected and a 2025 fourth round pick, which I think is a solid move for both teams. Because if you look at Dallas's decor now with Heiskanen and everyone there, like they look pretty solid, but Nils Lundqvist, he had 15 points in 34 games in the AHL, 4 points with a cup of coffee in the NHL with the Rangers this last year at 25 games. He had 4 points there, but just didn't fit in there. I'm not sure why, but he moves to Dallas for a potentially good pick. And I don't know if Dallas makes a playoff. So that, you know, that's probably going to be a higher pick than 28th. Like, you know, in what might be the most stacked draft that we've seen in quite some time since maybe the McDavid year. So, that pretty much wraps up all the other news outside, and that is fun. I'm super stoked that we now have actual NHL stuff going on as we continue into our actual NHL coverage. Guys, let's jump into the Atlantic Division preview. We'll start in reverse order of the standings. The Montreal Canadiens, number one overall pick, they get Juraj Slafkovský. After making the one of the most insane cup runs, I think, ever, probably the least, like, if you were a betting person, you lost all your money, or you won millions, because they were the heavy underdog in every round, and I think that they overachieved a little bit, and, you know, they got first overall this year with Juraj Slafkovský. Give me your thoughts a little bit opening on the Montreal Canadiens, Kesso, and then how you think that they'll do.
I mean, I want to see the team do well. It was interesting seeing Marty St. Louis step into that head coaching role. Like, he seems like the ultimate players coach.
Yeah.
And it seemed like he got something out of Cole Caulfield last year, right?
Wild night and day.
Yeah, and it seems like there's those expectations. Like, I'm seeing a lot of hot takes. Like, is he going to hit 40 goals this year and stuff? So I think they'll be a fun team to watch, but I still have them towards the bottom of the division.
I think some of their moves as well, the draft, getting Kirby Dach, getting Dadonov, and then getting Sean Monahan too. Their team is definitely far better than what it was last year, but if you look at the roster, like forward and defensive depth, it is still really ugly. Like,
so I have to admit, like, I'm like very anti Sean Monahan, and yep. It's not even like for a particular reason, but like all these years gambling and like daily fantasy, I'm always like, this guy, like, he never does anything. Like, he had great line mates at times and stuff, and like, I just think I have that bias against him. So from my point of view, from those 5 years ago playing fantasy sports, bad trade.
They they still have the Carey Price situation. So obviously,
which is he ever gonna? Like, what's
very?
I heard he's done.
Yeah, forever. Like that seems to be the kind of the take. And him and Drouin basically stepping away from hockey last year. Drouin the year before, I believe, and you know, stepping away just for you know, mental health reasons. It looks like that's gonna be if once Price's contract's off the books, and if some of their young players like Caulfield and Slavkovsky becomes a thing. They're in a pretty good spot because they'll be a lot like what New Jersey did. You can really springboard a rebuild with 10 milli on someone in free agency, you know, like you can fill a big, big hole, with that kind of contract. And I think that, you know, it's very tough to win with a $10 million goaltender other than Vasilevsky, but right. Yeah. So, Padre, give me your thoughts on Montreal and how they've done so far in this offseason.
I like some of the moves they made, especially the Monahan move, because there's really like no downside.
Yeah,
it kind of reminds me of like the Coyotes when they take like a, you know, bad contract per se, even though the Monahan one only looks bad because of the injury history. Mm-hmm. But I think like the upside in Doc, I mean, he's so young still and the jury's still out on that one. He's had some injuries, obviously, and Chicago's a mess. So I think this is a better situation for him. He's going to play a ton. And like Kessler said with Marty St. Louis, the ultimate players coach, isn't it weird to think like, how when Don Ducharme went out in the cup final or before the cup final, Luke Richardson stepped in and the team played great. Mm-hmm. And he was a former player. You know, Marty St. Levy, these former players, it just seems like these new young guys, they respond better to them. And I feel like there's something to that. And I feel like more teams around the league should maybe think about that maybe because they know what it takes or they know mm-hmm. what buttons to press. They know when, you know, Marty St. Louis is one of the most outspoken guys. And I remember he was always like, when I listened to him on podcasts, he was always talking about how, you know, I liked when a coach would do this or that or whatnot. So it's like, they know exactly like what to do with their teams. And I feel like that move, they were a lot better at the end of last year than they were, you know, previously in the beginning of the year. When, like you said, with Caulfield, he got the most out of him too. And I'm excited to see Jake Allen be a starter again. Even though I think it's going to be a tough year with that team.
No, absolutely. Their cap hit, their cap situation right now is wild considering how bad the team is still. Right up against it, essentially. Again, if Carey Price is, you know, he's got four more years left at 10.5. Man, absolutely wild.
The owner's rich.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, like, you know, Nick Suzuki, Brendan Gallagher, still very, very good players. And then Kirby Doc, we'll see if he gets kind of a resurgence. In Montreal, their decor is a mess. Like, I really don't think, you know, you've got Joel Edmondson, Matheson, David Savard, but really outside of that, there isn't anything. So that give me your predictions, guys. Kess, we'll start with you. Where are they finishing in the Atlantic Division?
They're going to finish seventh.
I can't wait to hear what number eight is. All right, Padre, yeah. Where's Montreal finishing?
You know what? It's kind of weird. Like, I actually like their forwards a lot.
Like, they remind me of the Blues a little bit, but not as talented.
They're really not that bad. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think next year they'll get Dubois. So I think they'll get that, you know, like that number one center.
Yeah.
But their decor is just so bad.
It's bad.
And just, you know, they have some young guys with Harris and Justin Barron looked good when I watched him play a little mm-hmm. bit last year. But I just can't picture with that decor them being able to compete, you know, and at the end of the day, I think, you know, you build your team from the back end out and not having Price there. And then I think they're going to finish last.
All right. So that is number eight. I will also concur. I think that they will be the eighth place team in the Atlantic. And man, if they need, they're a team that needs Bedard, but I don't want to see Bedard in Montreal. Sorry, Montreal Canadiens fans. I don't want to see that. I just, I don't know. But I mean, it would fit. As long, I want Bedard. I'll say this about Bedard because he's going to come up a lot throughout the season. I want him to go to a team that is bad, like not like a New Jersey wins the lottery, shouldn't be as bad as they are, and you know, like I want him to go to an Arizona or Montreal, someone. It's a team that's really bad. All right, let's move on to the Ottawa Senators. They finished seventh last year in the Atlantic Division. Kessel, give me your initial takes on the Ottawa Senators and their things.
Yeah, I think they had the most exciting offseason out of like any team, right? It's
pretty close, yeah. If not, yeah.
Yeah, so I wonder, this is one of those things, right? So you see teams make acquisitions during the year. They have a full offseason, training camp, whatever, to get acclimated to each other. Padre, how long do you think, like, you have a lot of people playing with, you know, line mates that they haven't played with before. Do you think that's something that takes a while to get, like, that chemistry and stuff going? Or is that something that you think within a week or two, they should be okay, they should be clicking?
It's tough to say, because I remember, like, when we brought in O'Reilly with the Blues and stuff, and we had, like, all these big acquisitions that year we won the Cup. If you remember, when we were dead last at the trade deadline. So yeah. I remember thinking going into the season, like, oh, we're going to be so sick. Like, we got all these big guys coming in, and it's just going to gel so great. Mm-hmm. And it took forever to gel. And I don't know if that's, you know, it's really just tough to say, honestly, because, you know, it all looks great on paper, right? Like, oh, okay, we're going to have, you know, Claude Giroux, you know, playing with Stützle and, you know, I don't know, whoever on the wing. But you know what I'm saying? So it's just, it looks good, but it's tough to say, you know?
Yeah, and Giroux still looked great last year, too, with Florida.
Kessa, you've seen this for years. How many times have been like, oh, this guy could play with Crosby, and then he can't?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, yeah, I mean? That always happens. So that's what I was thinking too, because like the one year they traded for again, like it didn't click immediately. Yeah. But they have like that full offseason to like actually, mm-hmm. you know, gain that chemistry. This team still looks weak defensively to me, right? So yeah. I don't know. They should be exciting to watch.
100%. Like I think that they are finally entering like the exciting period of the rebuild, and obviously Eugene passing away, but he was always famously like not really someone that would ever spend his money, which was always a big like knock on him. But they seem to be like the Giroux signing is big, like that shows like financial investment. Man, Stützle got the bag. Again, that was kind of an example I was using. Like he got 8.3, I believe, for 8 years, and he is 20 years old, so coming right out of his entry level, and that could be huge because if his trajectory just keeps going up and he gets to a point per game player at 8.3, that's a huge deal. But I think that when you see this in all sports, really, not just hockey, but the team that makes the biggest amount of moves on paper very rarely in the first year does it work. Like, as well, like, you know, I'm trying to think, like, this is off topic, but Bryce Harper's first year with the Phillies, they added, like, a ton, and it was just piss poor. And I think that in hockey, it's even harder because you need that chemistry for sure. But, man, like a forward core that has Brady, Claude Giroux, DeBrincat, Josh Norris, Drake Batherson, Stützle, like, and then on the back end, getting a full season of Jake Sanderson. I'm really excited to see him because, nasty. Yeah, he looks like he's going to be real good. And then Eric Brännström, the worst master set player to ever get put in the NHL 22. In net, they get Cam Talbot, who's solid. But we'll have to wait and see on him. I think that you kind of touched on it, Kessel. They made the most amount of moves, but it's like, you know, like how long does it take to gel? So, Padre, yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, one more thing. That whenever, so that year after they lost to the Penguins in the Eastern Conference Finals, and then they traded away Carlson, like, I really thought that this team was, like, destined to be, like, shitty for years. Mm-hmm. And this turnaround happened pretty quickly. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't even know if they're a playoff team right now. I don't think they are. But I'm still surprised to see, at least on paper, how well they look.
Yeah, I agree. I think that they've... It's funny, because when you look at teams that have been rebuilding forever, like Arizona, for instance, your first-round picks have to hit. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, getting gems elsewhere in the draft, that's one thing. But if you're getting a top-five pick and it does not hit, like, that you've just wasted a year. Essentially, you've just wasted an entire year of being bad and your franchise, which is why being in this purgatory is so rough, like the Sharks are, where like you need to get bad fast. And you know, they did well with Stützle. That Carlson trade worked out huge, because if same with like COVID, like had the Sharks roster at the time wasn't great, but I don't think it would have been third worst in the league. They were on a really bad run and didn't make the bubble when the cutoff happened, and they just took advantage of that, and they got Stützle, who looks phenomenal. So, Padre, where do you think the Ottawa Senators are going to finish this year?
I think they'll finish seventh. No, sorry. I think they'll finish sixth. That's what I meant to say. Sorry.
Okay. So they're going to move up a spot to number six. Kessa, where do you think they finish?
I got them at five.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I'm just not confident in their back end. That's kind of the
I'm very like, I want to see it. But on the other teams that we're about to talk about, I would probably take Ottawa's roster over them. I will say Ottawa finishes sixth.
Okay. How tough is this division, though?
It's bad. The Metro last year looked like it was a gong show and ended up being not as bad. This, the Atlantic is a phenomenal division. Like, it is wild now. And it's crazy, just 1 year, basically, the 1 year just turnover. All right, guys, moving on to the sixth place Detroit Red Wings in 2022. They made the most acquisitions. They had, this is, I think, the fourth year of the Eiser plan or the third year. And he had a ton of cap because a lot of contracts came off the books and a lot of moves were made to clear it up. And he used it. So they go out and get a ton of people. Why don't you, Padre, why don't you run through the acquisitions by the Red Wings?
Yeah, they brought in Ville Husso. I think it's a good addition. They have a great tandem now with him and Nedeljkovic, I think, and it takes some of the weight off Nedeljkovic's shoulders. I think he kind of got a little exposed last year, and he played a lot. And obviously adding David Perron, like, that was That was a great contract. Just like he's been so severely underpaid, and I think because of COVID, he still is underpaid. But, you know, he'll be a huge addition to that power play. He's so good from that flank spot. And Kubalik, you know, he had a down year last year in Chicago, but I think he might bounce back. And I love the way Ben Chiarot plays. I thought that was a really good addition on the back end. And I mean, I'd rather have paid him what they paid him than like paying like what you paid like Gabranson and Columbus. Remember that deal?
We talked about that. I don't think that deal happens if Goudreau signs first.
Right. And then the Andrew Copp deal, that's a really solid deal, I think, for them. He's a really good two-way centerman, and coming home to his hometown, you know, he grew up as a Red Wings fan. I always think there's something there where, you know, you kind of get you get more out of these guys. But yeah, I really like their team, honestly. Like, I this is the one I'd be more confident in. A lot of it's because of Moritz Seider.
You know, yeah, it's true. When you have a number one defenseman that adds a ton of, that's 30 minutes a night where the team isn't probably scoring all that much. David Perron, the shot prop god. I made so much money off of him in the Blues playoff series last year. It was automatic. He literally...
He's just always been so solid.
Yeah, it's fun. Dude, we're going to talk about this because, Kesso, I mean, we talked about this off air. You got a little thing cooking for gambling season once NHL starts. And, man, there's something to a guy who is the trigger man on the power play. Because, man, the Blues just fed him the puck every power play. He sat in the Ovechkin spot. And he would just pound the biscuit. So, yeah, and what's cool is that I think, again, Yzerman gets a lot of props for his drafting, going back to, you know, his time with the Lightning. But signing Perron, Kubalik to two-year deals, like, you can just move them. You know, like, they're probably not on the
Perron's
team in 2 years.
Probably going to go back to the Blues at one of these years.
Yeah, for the 15th time. Does. Yeah, probably. And the Ben Chiarot one was the first one I kind of thought... Again, this is my take on Chiarot. I think that he made this contract in that cup run with Montreal, and when he was with Florida this year, he wasn't nearly as good as he was, and when Montreal tried to make him that number one defenseman, because Shea Weber ate up all those tough minutes in the playoffs, but Chiarot was a phenomenal, like, next-tier defenseman for them, and when he was forced to be, like, a number one, I just didn't see him be all that great. But it's under $5 million. It is 4 years. Cop at $5 million. I think it's safe. Again, I think $5 million contract is whatever in the current landscape because that's relatively cheap. And then, yeah, they extend Philip Zadina as well for under $2 million. But they did make a lot of additions. It really comes down to their prospects. So, like, if Edvinson is massive, by the way. Him and Seider, when they, like, grow up, is going to be... Holy smokes. So we'll see if Edvinson comes over and has a big year. Same with Lucas Raymond. If he becomes like a 60-point player, that's massive for the Red Wings. Because I think that they still lack scoring. Like, I think that's what they, you know. Moritz Seider is a number one defenseman, which I remember everyone. This is another reason why Yzerman is just considered one of the best GMs. Like, everyone, I remember watching TSN, and they were like, what? Like, they, like, didn't have a graphic prepared, and he was taken at, like, five. Like, they were all like, what in the world is going on here? And, He does it again.
He is just so good. I went to a game this year whenever they were playing the Penguins here in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. And I don't say this too often. He pretty much like shut Crosby down and mm-hmm. got under his skin the whole entire game. Like, it was fun to watch, even though, like, you know, my team lost. Mm-hmm. But he is just so damn good.
Yep. It is. He.
I think a full season of Verana, too.
True.
Will be nice.
Yeah, true. Is my camera froze? Give me 1 second as I get that back. Yeah, like, I agree. I think that getting a full year of those guys as well, just it's a lot like Ottawa. A lot of stuff yeah. got added, and that doesn't always work right away. I think that Ottawa added higher end pieces, yeah. and they were, I guess they weren't a kind of ahead. They were almost in the same spot. I feel like Detroit and Ottawa are the ones that are going to kind of flip-flop here. So would that be...
Yeah, but these are all like low-risk moves. Like, they're really smart 100%. By Eisman, right? Like, you guys 100%. Are saying, you can get like, rid of them. These are almost like, yeah, you can get rid of them within 2 years. Like, there's that transition, let your guys develop. Like, it's really smart.
What do you think Moritz Seider makes?
11.
Like, it's going to be... Yeah. It is going to be a lot. Like, when does his contract come up?
It just depends, I guess, because Makar got 9. I feel like that's going to be, like, the bar, right?
It's not. Like, that's the thing, though. Makar got 9. Right? Like, the team goes, Makar had 9, but then Moritz Seider is like, yeah, but he's an idiot. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's tough. I that's what I'm saying. It's like, I feel like he won't get over 9, but then the cap's going to go up and stuff, so it's tough to say. But, yeah, I don't know. I really like their team, though, like, the way it's built, and I like the moves that they made. Like you said, they're kind of – I'm curious to see what happens with Larkin. I feel like they have to sign him. I mean – he's from there. The guys say he's a great captain. He's only 26 years old. I mean,
he feels like he's been in the league for 15
forever.
Years.
Forever. Yeah. He's so fast too. Yeah. It's like you're playing to the modern day, you know, NHL. And I'm curious to see with Tyler Bertuzzi. Like, I could see if they fall on their face a little bit if they move him at the deadline. They get a lot for Bertuzzi. He's a good player.
Where do you think they finish?
I think they'll finish 6th.
Okay, so same as we're in lockstep here. So Montreal, Ottawa, Detroit for you, Kessel.
I got them at 6 too. But the league's more fun when Detroit's good, right? We grew up with them making the playoffs every single year, so hopefully they
I meant to say 5th, but basically I think Montreal, Buffalo, Ottawa, Detroit.
All right. You spoiled the Buffalo. Okay. Sorry.
I don't think they're better than, but I don't think Buffalo's better than them. So
I'll say this, Casso. I do not feel the sentiment about Detroit being that they were in the Western Conference for a little too long as when I was a Shark, when early on in my Sharks fan tenure. So I think that Detroit, yeah, I feel like, man, with how bad Boston could be, the bottom could really fall out for Boston. I feel like it's in the realm of possibility.
Yeah,
no, I won't say 4th. There's no way I could say 4th. I will say Detroit finishes 5th. So I will go Montreal 8, Ottawa 7, Detroit 5th. On to our next squadron, the Buffalo Sabres, who I love. I grew up in Southern Ontario. I had season tickets to the Sabres in the Brewery and Dreher era. Lived in Buffalo for about 7 years. One of my favorite teams to watch as a kid, obviously. But they have got to be the worst team when it comes to spending their money, because they went so long in when I believe Darcy Regier was the GM, where they just weren't allowed to spend money and they were very frugal with their money. And they just somehow managed to find all these great signings like they did in the Brière and Drury era. And then they get a new owner and the Pagulas are allowed to just, you know, open up the checkbook and they're like, bang, Jeff Skinner, 9 milli, and it just falls out, you know? I think Matt Reed got a huge contract. Matt Molson got a massive one. It's like every time they spend money, it always ends up terrible for the Sabres. And here we go, Tage Thompson with an anomaly season. He gets the bag. So, Kesso, why don't you run me through your takes on the Buffalo Sabres?
I don't like them. I find them boring. Obviously, they have the potential on defense. That Tage Thompson extension... We've talked about it with so many teams, though. It's like you give those young guys that, like, whatever. But, dude, 7.1 a year?
Yeah, it's a lot
like,
of
that's
money.
That's just crazy. Like, we're not playing the video game, you know? Like, I know he's a big boy. I hope it works out.
Like, let me read this before you go any further, okay?
Yeah.
41 games. I forgot he was a Blue. He came over in the O'Reilly trade, which saves the O'Reilly trade for the – it doesn't, but, like, it helps a little bit. 9 points in 41 games. Then he gets his first year in Buffalo. He's been there for 4 years. 12 points in 65. The next year, I believe he's hurt. Oh, no, it was the COVID, 1920. No, I think he was hurt. 14 games in 38, or 14 points in 38 games in 2021, and then 68 and 78. Now, he moved from wing to center, and that clear, and then he really clicked with Alex Tuch. So they're banking on a lot of that, but man, there is, yeah, like, one of these is not like the others, and, with Jeff, I'm just stunned because of the Jeff Skinner thing. Like, how are you so okay with doing a contract like that? But
I don't get it, but I think every single year we see GMs do these, like, super puzzling signings, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that Jeff Skinner one was, like, terrible.
It's, he just came off, like, a 30 or 40 goal season, like, and he was a Calder win, like, that one, I think, was like, man, no one saw him being that bad. But, like, this one. Padre, talk to me a little about the Tage Thompson deal. What do you think?
At least Skinner, like, last year rebounded a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
He tucked 33 last year. He had 63 and 80 last year, which is – that's a pretty good season. It's just bad. You forget about it because he plays in Buffalo.
Yep.
And, like, as much as you grew up there a little bit and – I want to see them do good because it's such a fun time when they're good. The fans are awesome. And I'm so happy for them with the Alex Tuch thing because it reminds me a lot of Columbus. Like, you want to get guys that want to play there, right?
Yeah.
And Tuck's from there. And, like, Spit and Chicklets put out a funny video of him getting the Buffalo Bills fans going last night, walking into the game. And it's just, it's cool to see. Like, I think he's an ex-captain of the Sabres. I'm calling it now. Not like it's really big of a hot take, but it's something that, you know, it's something to build around. And I'm, you know, I'm a little bit, for the longest time, I was like, Tage Thompson is so soft. Like, he's 6'6". He doesn't really get into it. But, like, last year watching him play, he's put on some weight moving to center. And I'm going to be honest, and this might be another hot take, top 10 shot in the NHL, especially from that spot right there where Stamkos and Ovechkin, I mean, you go back and watch a lot of his goals. He has an absolute piss missile from that spot. It's one of the cleanest one-timers I've seen in a while. And I mean, they could end up looking like geniuses because like $7 million might be like nothing if he does that again.
True. Like if he goes up and puts out 65 points again or 35 goals, like that's a fine contract. That's
and pretend like you didn't sign him and he does it again. And he's like, I'm not staying in Buffalo. Yep. You know, it's like,
That's the risk of run. So we just talked about this earlier about like the problem with like the Coyotes is their first round picks, but their high picks don't pan out. Like they don't like that's the issue. Whereas Ottawa looks like they're working out half decent. Casey Mittelstadt, like that just didn't land. Like he just was not like he peaked at the World Juniors. And hopefully he might become something, but I doubt it. Zemgus Jurgensen, he's 28 now, but remember him and Zadorov, I believe. Just again, Zadorov became a little bit better as his career went on, but Jurgensen's never really panned out into a top end player. Dylan Cousins looks really good after not playing in the NHL in his first year, but he's an RFA next year. And Peyton Krebs too. Peyton Krebs is really good. Like I think that Vegas is gonna kick themselves for that. Obviously with Eichel, but you have Jack Quinn who's gonna make the jump to the NHL this year. I feel like everyone forgets about Jack Quinn. Yeah, I feel like a lot of people forget about him. You know,
and Owen Power, he looks like mini Hedman.
Yeah. Owen Power is going to be, I always talk about this. Like I always make like kind of like the joke, but it's not really because
he's going to be on our hot teams, boys.
Oh yeah. Dude, Owen Power. Like I always say that Bortolo is going to be the second best Michigan Wolverine way behind Owen Power because he looks when like, he just looks like it was so funny too, because that was the COVID draft when no one played. Right. Yeah. And it just looked like maybe that was a reach and this draft was going to be really bad. He looks legit. So
6'6",
and can like him and Darlene is just gonna be so fun for a while. Darlene comes up in 2 years. They finally get rid of Okposo, another guy that just they sign him and it just never works out. So I couldn't believe that they finished fifth. Like I don't remember that at all, and that's part of their problem because they always go on runs at the end of the year. When everyone else is sold and they, I don't know, maybe they start to click. Alex, God, maybe I, Kessel, where do you put Buffalo?
Well, I mean, I can't have them any higher than some of the teams I listed, right? Yeah. Said Montreal in seventh, so I have them in last. And I think like 6 to 8's anybody, but I have them last.
What about you, Padre?
I think seventh. I'm a little worried about their goaltending too. And the problem with them in Ottawa the last few years, I always say is, They have, like, these, like, oh, this is going to be, you know, like, a cool roster to watch. This is going to be fun, exciting. And then they just, like, fall on their face, like, right out of the gate. And then they can't make it up. Like, Ottawa does that every year recently. Yeah. Where they just fall on their face.
November is done.
like the Sabres have to start on time. They have to do that this year if they want to be, you know, anywhere near a playoff spot, you know. But I think seventh.
I really want to say higher than I did, but I think Montreal finishes eighth. I think I said Ottawa 7, but I'm going to change it. I apologize. I'm going to put Buffalo 7th, Ottawa,
and Detroit. It's confusing remembering because they're,
yeah. Yeah, they're on the left. Yeah, I'm sorry. So I apologize. I'm going to go, to update, I'm going to say Montreal in 8th, Buffalo in 7th, Ottawa, then Detroit. Kessa, what was yours?
So I had Ottawa in 5th, Detroit in 6th, Montreal in 7th, Buffalo in 8th.
Okay. And Kessler, I think you have the same as, or Padre, I think you have the same as mine.
Yeah.
Okay. All righty. Let's move on to our first playoff team from the Atlantic last year, the Boston Bruins. I don't know why. I'm a huge Red Sox and Patriots fan. I hate the Bruins. Always have. And I think maybe it's because I grew up like a Leafs fan when I was a kid. And I have no reason why I don't like, I love the city of Boston. I can't stand the Bruins. So I've always had this like negative look on them and always thought they were worse than they are. That first line has carried this franchise for a while because it probably is the best first line in the playoffs. Like I remember like the last like 5 years, like Bergeron, Marchand, and Pastrnak, minimum one goal a game in the playoffs. Like that line will score and then you have to just, you know, the depth is whatever. But now there's some issues. So Padre, talk to me what your thoughts are on the Boston Bruins.
Yeah, I mean, the big thing is just the injuries, right? Like, you have 6 months out on McAvoy, their number one defenseman, Grizzlick, same kind of thing. Marchand scheduled to skate for the first time on Friday after coming off a double hip, which, like, when you have hips and you're a hockey player, I mean, you just never know, you know? Same thing with, like, back injuries. But, I don't know, I'm excited to see Krejci come back. It's pretty apparent with DeBrusk pulling his trade request, Krejci coming back, that they weren't too big of fans of Bruce Cassidy. It's pretty cool to see Jimmy Montgomery get another shot, being the, you know, after he was here last year with St. Louis, and you know he was really good with Dallas and one of the best, you know, college coaches when he was at Denver. And but I think the big thing with them, and I think it's going to boost them up, honestly, is just getting rid of Cassidy. I think Montgomery's going to make that team click, and I don't think they're going to, you know, like win the division or anything like that. But I think they're going to be right there, if not a playoff team, because it's just they have so much experience and that line. They'll get healthy. I think they'll weather the storm. And I'm curious to see how Pavel Zacha does, because apparently he's going to be starting with Bergeron. So.
Dude, he is one of, again, New Jersey with their like that McDavid draft. He's the one like landmine. Like, because, like, dude, that first, like, 15 is incredible. And then it's, like, Pavel Zacha. It's, like, man, you missed. Because I remember, like, Meyer Rantanen, Werenski, Provorov. Like, all those guys are right behind him. In what I think will end up being, like, the best draft, like, better than 2003. Even though that's going to be tough to do. But the one thing in terms of their cap, they lose half their team next year. Like, so they're pushing all the chips in, and it'll be very interesting what happens in the next offseason. So I'm going to read down the list of guys that are UFAs after this season. So you've got Nick Foligno, Pavel Zacha, Craig Smith, Bergeron, Noshik, Chris Wagner, Trent Frederick, Krejci, all gone. And then their entire defense is back, though. McAvoy,
Lynn. And Pasternak's of UFA.
Yeah, Pasternak, too. I forgot about that. So he's going to get 10, at least. Yes. So that's going to eat up a lot of this. But then, man, Marchand's 34, and obviously very, very hurt. Taylor Hall is not the MVP Taylor Hall. So we'll see. Kessa, what do you think of the Bruins and you know, and how you think they'll do this season?
So I think it's weird. So you were talking about football a little bit earlier. Mm-hmm. You like the Patriots. There's a Patriot way. We know that, right? Yep. But there is a Bruins way too. And mm-hmm. it started, you know, Chara was there all them years, right? I feel like it ends, unless somehow Bergeron passes down this like wisdom to McAvoy, I feel like it ends once he's gone. Like he signed that sweetheart deal, like what, it's up to $5 million with the easy incentives this year.
Looks like.
But this team, every single year I look at them, I feel like I've been looking at the same team for like 5 to 10 years now, and it's like starting to dwindle away. I like this team. I think no matter what, they'll be solid. Like they have the same first line there. We'll see how Marchand does after that, but he's one of those weird players like Marty St. Louis, where he's just gotten better as he's gotten older. Yeah. Like after his 30s, he like catapulted.
Yep.
And like you know, 6 years ago, you wouldn't think Brad Marchand's like Brad Marchand.
No.
Right? Like, it's so strange. I think they're going to do well. I think they'll always do well as long as some of those guys are there.
Because I have always felt they've been very top heavy. And mm-hmm. the top is just like not there to start the season. I'm wondering, just we talked about how good the Atlantic Division is. Like, it is going to be, there is no, like, even the bottom end, like Montreal and Buffalo, it's not like they are going to be awful as they were last year. They have a lot, they are a lot better. This entire division improved. I don't think anyone got worse at the bottom end. Boston, I feel like, did not improve enough. And, I guess they're fourth. But just because, like, barely. Like, I could see...
Their last year there,
I think. Yeah, like, I could see Detroit or Ottawa taking out Boston in fourth. And I don't know if four teams make the playoffs in the Atlantic. Probably. Yeah, they probably... Five do probably. Five probably make it. So, that man, five people teams in the Atlantic. That means there's going to be one really fun team. No matter what, like, in the Atlantic. Like, yeah. There could be one really fun team. I'll say Boston finishes fourth, so keep it in that same order. I'll say they finish fourth, but yeah, I agree with you. I think this is their last year there. Padre, what about you?
Yeah,
I think fourth too. I think Kessel hit the nail on the head about Bergeron. I'd be curious to see what Johnny Beecher does, because that's kind of like their top prospect for centerman and stuff. And I'm out of Michigan, and I'm curious to see, you know, what happens, like Kessel said, after Bergeron leaves, because he's. He's unreal. I mean, he could probably play till he's 40. He's kind of like Tom Brady. He just seems like he never loses it.
Mm-hmm. All right, moving on to the Tampa Bay Lightning, coming up just short of their third straight Stanley Cup. It's funny because I usually hate repeat champions. I think, like, as a sports fan, it sucks unless you're witnessing, like, a dynasty. Because, I'm big on, like, when we saw the Cubs win, right, in our lifetime. Whenever, like, there's people that had two generations of like full lives and full life and never saw that. So I like seeing historical stuff happen, but I also don't like repeats in hockey. But Tampa winning three would have been something that in the cap era probably wouldn't ever be done again. Like it takes a magical amount of luck, everything going right, and then actually being able to succeed. But it looks like they're on their downswing. It's funny how we talked about the cap and the potential. There was rumors that it goes up to $100 million. They handed out eight-year deals like candy this offseason.
Three of them, right?
Yeah. And it was wild to see, because you think of them as a cap, you know, a team that has cap issues, and they're always going to have it until, you know, until they're done. And they gave out a ton. Julian Breezewell is just like, yeah, whatever. Maybe that might actually work in their favor, because they would save some money signing them for 8 years. Obviously, the 10-year sucks, and as a Sharks fan, those are terrifying deals. But if it does go up a lot, then they're in business. So they've got Braden Point, who is locked up until the end of 29-30 at 9.5. They got Nick Paul was one of the crazy ones. Like, 3.1 for 8 years, essentially. Like, or seven, I believe it's seven. Like, that's a crazy deal that you do not see ever for a role player to get that kind of tenure, who is... honestly great for them in the playoffs, though. You had Sergachev, who is the perfect number two defenseman, I think, in the NHL. Like, one of the best number two defensemen in the NHL, probably right behind, like, Devon Taves, in my opinion. 8.5 until, you know, the end of 2030-31, which scares me to see that's a thing. Dude, I'll be 50 when that deal is done. No, I'll be 40. Oh, my God, bad math. I'll be 40 when that deal's done. Eric Chernak got one, same thing. Like, it's crazy. And I believe I'm forgetting someone. I thought Shirelli.
Shirelli
got. Yeah, Shirelli got the bag too.
50 mil.
Dude, it's wild. So, one of the craziest off seasons from a signing standpoint, because they're just essentially running it back. So, Kessa, what do you think of the Lightning and their chances of going back to the Cup final again?
Dude, they have the experience, right? That's a given. Their roster's great. Like, barring any, they always experience some injury issues here and there where people coming back, whatever. They have as good of a chance as anybody, right? Mm-hmm. Like, to win this year. So I think they're just going to be a powerhouse this year again. What's weird, like, looking at those contracts they gave out, like, Hedman comes up in, like, a couple years, and Sergachev's making more than him right now. You know, whenever Hedman's is done, he'll be 34. Like, I wonder what the team will look like then. Yeah,
because you got to think that, like, how much more at 34 is he going to make? Like, I think that he kind of screwed, like, a lot like Crosby. Just his contracts kept coming up, like, at the worst times before the cap it blows up or someone makes a crap ton of money, right? Because now that Duchesne, now that Nathan MacKinnon makes 12.6, he's no longer the best hit. Dude, 7.8 for Victor Hedman for three more years is the reason why the Lightning can go back to the Cup final, I think. Eh, Padre?
I love this team. Like, if there was no such thing as, like, a Cup hangover, even though they didn't win the Cup, or, you know, just barring health, I think this is the best team in the East. I'm not even kidding. I love this roster because it's so well-balanced, and everyone always, like, outperforms their deals down there. Like, I think bringing Nemestikov back, a guy that they drafted, I think he's going to have a great year. And I don't know. I love the defense, too. I feel like Philip Myers.
I forgot about Philip Myers. Great hot card.
You know, people coming out of the bubble were, like, raving about him with the Flyers.
Yep.
Now that he's playing in Tampa and he's not, you know, like, going to be, like, have all this, like, pressure on him and whatnot, putting him with a Hedman or a Sergachev, I mean, that decor is awesome. And Ian Cole is such a good shot blocker. He's a gamer. Kessel Yusov for years in Pitt. You know, he won two cups there. And Cal Foote, you know, I mean, the jury's still out. You know, he's had some good games. He's had some bad games. I mean, he's been up and down. But I love this roster. I think they're going to finish second. But I think, like, that's obviously barring any health, just because you never know with how much of a, you know, hangover all those games that they've played the last 3 years have caused on them. But, you know, I really like this team. They're the best goalie in the world, too.
Yeah,
that's it. I mean, yeah. This is one of those things where it's like, it's an unfair advantage for such a great team, right? Because you're always going to get those veterans signing those million-dollar deals or, like, those acquisitions later in the season. And like you said, like, the team's just perfectly put together. Like, it's just GM masterclass right here.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think Yzerman built, like, just an absolute insane core. No Andre Palat anymore, though. And I'm like, that's, and they won't have, I would be willing to bet that Killorn has gone too. So they'll have to figure out, like, after this season.
It'll hurt.
Seeing Palat go is, like, I don't know if you guys remember, it was Kucherov, Tyler Johnson, and Palat on
HL
that, like,
line.
Little, like, that, yeah, dude. And it was like, and that was what, like, 6 years ago. And, like, Kucherov's the only one left. And, like, I remember whenever that line first started playing together, it was like, oh, wow, these guys are, like, really good together.
Yep.
And it's just Kucherov left now.
Yep. Is, I think, get Isaac Howard, too. Like, one of, like, the, like, crazy, like, forgetting him in there, like, because obviously them being so good, their draft has been awful, like, in terms of their spots. Isaac Howard looks like a really good draft pick for them this year, and we'll see if he ever plays for the Lightning, though, because he'll probably get moved in a deal for somebody. Kessel, where do you think they finish?
I got them at second. I think, Padre, you had them at second as well, right?
Yeah,
second. Yeah, I have Tampa in second as well. It's tough because what are the odds Stamkos and Kucherov stay healthy for a season now?
That's the tough part.
Like that, like, yeah. What, like 60% that one of them doesn't miss 20 games? Like it,
right. Know? And that's why I just base everything off of injuries. It's, we'll see, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Nope, I agree. All right. So moving on to the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Oh, baby.
I love living in Southern Ontario because all it is the Toronto Maple Leafs. And I'm okay with that. I have a soft spot for the Leafs. I really do want to see Toronto win a cup for my old man. He has been a diehard Leafs fan since he was born, and he was 7 the last time they won a cup. So let's talk a bit about the Toronto Maple Leafs. They are in the San Jose Sharks nuts in a vice where they have a core that has not performed, but they can't do anything with them, and it's going to be the same conversation every year. Until, in my opinion, John Tavares is gone. But out of the four, let's see your take. Who do you think of any of those four players, the big four, gets moved first, if it happens at all? Padre, you go first.
Okay, you go.
As in trade or as in, like, yeah, gone. Free agency?
Let's say in the next 2 years. Let's pretend they get knocked out in the first round.
I think Austin Matthews is gone in 2 years.
Oh, dude, comment section is already exploding.
Brian Burke said it years ago, and I'm so jealous that Kessel gets to have him in Pittsburgh. I think he's an awesome hockey guy, and I've been saying for years, I just don't see an American-born player like Austin Matthews staying there. I think he's going to go to Phoenix, or I think he's going to go to LA or the Rangers. Like, it's either going to be a big market or he's going to go home. And I just can't picture him staying there. And if he were to hypothetically stay there, like they had like a, you know, hush-hush agreement, That's why Willie Nylander will be the one that ultimately, I think, has to get moved out.
It's funny because Nylander is the one that, like, everyone, that was, like, the first guy, like, whenever Leafs fans were like, we got to, like, he's the only one, like, returning value. Well, I mean, not returning value, but, like, it's not that bad. Like, I think it's Tavares. Like, I honestly think that's
Tavares. I just don't know anybody wants him because he can't skate the same, and he never was a great skater to begin with, right? So I just feel like it's such a hard contract. I mean, $11 million cap hit in the next 3 years. I mean, I don't know.
I will say this until... Yeah. If John Tavares would have just chose the Sharks, three franchises, like he altered the course of three franchises, and I don't think any of it was positive. Tavares was offered 12 by the Sharks, and that was who they were. He was down to. He chose.
But he didn't have the bed sheets. He did it.
And then the Boo Starfighter. He didn't have it. And then San Jose had their best team ever, and they needed one more thing. They went out and got Carlson, and we all know how that played out. If John Tavares would have just became a Shark, you know. The Leafs wouldn't have had Tavares, but they probably would have had Dougie Hamilton or Alex Pietrangelo. And whether you want to say that those guys are better than Tavares right now, with this team, if you would have had them, we'll talk about Morgan Rielly in a second. If they would have actually had a true number one defenseman, they might have, you know, gotten out of the first round. But let's talk. We so many hot takes. I can, like, dude, we have angered a lot of that fan base. I feel like already just so let's talk about. Their additions, okay? So I think we have to start with the goaltending because I think over the last 3 years, it has literally gotten worse every year. They went from Freddie Anderson and Jack Campbell, the Jack Campbell and Mrazek, to Matt Murray and Samsonov, and Dubas bet his job on Matt Murray. So talk to me a little bit about that, Kesso.
Dude, I mean, look, I love Matt Murray. He gave me 2 Stanley Cups in Pittsburgh. Like, I can't say enough good things about him. It's weird how his career ended up now compared to what it was. I mean, even whenever his first year, it's like that weak glove hand, it's like nothing's changed, right? Like, it's the scouting report was out on him then, but he always, like, showed up for those playoff games no matter what. I don't get why, like, 4.6, like, why did they, I don't understand the signing. He's risking a lot on Matt Murray.
It's his job, in my opinion,
like, you're doing that on Matt Murray. I don't get it. But I said the same thing about the Capitals, like, right before they won the Cup. They're going to win one of these years. They have to. You probably said the same thing about the Sharks. It didn't end up working out. But, like, they have the team's too good. I know you can say whatever about the defense, but, like, the team's too good. They're going to win one of these years. For Leafs fans, I hope it's this year. Like, I really do. Austin Matthews is too good. They have to win.
I've said this for, like, the last 3 years. Like, I compare it to, like, Michael Jordan and the Pistons. He just could not get past the Pistons. And then once he did, they just won championships. Like, I don't think it'll be like that, but I guarantee you that once, dude, watching the Leafs last year in the playoffs, man, it is so apparent that when you get down to the moment where you have to eliminate and win a playoff round, like, it is so wild to watch the Leafs because every single time that they're in a situation where it's elimination or someone needs to score a big goal, they're all just like doing one of these. Yeah. Like, they're just like, who's going to do it? And no one's like, I'm going to do it. And it's,
you'd have to think, though, if it was under the old playoff rules, they probably would have had.
They play in conference finals. They're playing conference final matches in the first round. Yeah.
They lost game 7 to the Lightning. Like,
and what's wild is the Lightning survived that series. Like, they barely hung on because they made Vasilevsky look awful in the first 4 games of that series. Like, that one, my best friend is a dire Lightning fan, and he said the same thing. He's like, dude, they just hung on against Toronto. But
if they just get one more goal, they might be in the Stanley Cup Finals.
I legitimately think the first time that they move on and they actually know what it takes to win a playoff round, that they really go on like a cup run. I won't say they're going to win because I think that no matter what, an Eastern Conference team is going to run into Colorado. And in the next couple of years, I don't know if anyone beats them. But Padre, you're around players enough and like a team enough. Is that like an actual thing? Like, until you win a playoff round, do you think that fixes almost all of their issues? Just winning one round?
I think it's valuable experience. I remember when we won against the Blackhawks and 2016, I think that helped a lot for that core group of guys like Tarasenko and Schwartz and all those guys that helped us years later. It's like when we lost against you guys in the conference finals against the Sharks. I think that helped us going that far. I don't know. This roster is just so tough for me. Like, don't get me wrong, like Matthews, Marner, Nylander, Tavares, like all those guys, like they're just so top heavy. And their bottom six is just kind of gross, to be honest with you. Like, I'm just not impressed with, like, Yarncroke, unless he's what he was in Nashville. He was not good in Calgary. He was not good in Seattle. I mean, it's a low risk deal at $2.1 million. David Camp was good last year for them, but they're bottom six. And they're kind of hoping that Bunting does what he did again last year. You know what I mean?
That's a very good deal right now.
Yeah, and their decor is just so like meh.
They need a number
and then
one.
And then the goalies, I mean, that's it right there. Like, I mean, on paper, they took a step back in that. But then again, like, you don't really know like what kind of Matt Murray you're going to get. And honestly, like, even Samsonov, it's like...
I think Samsonov might be a starter. Like, there's a possibility. Like
I don't know. And then I think Kessler's boy, he's on a PTO, might make the team. Zach Aston-Reese. I think
he's a great guy to have for the playoffs. Like, he was always an analytical darling. Like, he won't give you anything on offense, but he'll make sure there's nothing that's happening defensively.
I think the Leafs are really suffering from one of their first-round picks becoming something. Like, Liljegren aside, like, if they would just have, like, that one entry-level deal where the guy is either a top four defenseman. Well, maybe Liljegren is. I think that the major issue is that Morgan Rielly, while amazing offensively, he's a very, very good, offensive defenseman, does not seem to be able to shut down and play playoff minutes where you've got to play like 30 minutes a night against the best team. And not having that number one defenseman is just so, I think it's hurting them. Like I said, I think if Tavares was Petrangelo or Dougie Hamilton, which is two guys that were rumored, like when they were trying to figure out ways to get them, like I really think this team looks a lot different. But they make it out of the first round. Agree? This year?
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm confident. Like, Padre, what do you think?
I think they lose again in the first round.
happen, bro. Like odd wise,
I think they'll get third in the division.
Okay.
And I think they'll lose to Tampa again.
Okay. Oh, what do you think? What do you think, Keza?
I got them first in the division. They're the perfect regular season team, man. They got superstars on the team.
I will say they finished first as well. I think by the end of the year, Samsonov is probably the starter. And I think that Matthews and Marner both touch 100. I think the Mark Giordano signing, which is a lot like he just wanted to come home and play for a team at the bare minimum. Like, Mark Giordano could have gotten like 2.5 from another team. Right, like he would have, you know, he could have gotten that, and he doesn't have a ton left in the tank. But I think that deal really helps Toronto. So I think the problem with Toronto is that if they lose one defenseman, like if they lose Muzzin or Brody or even Giordano for an extended length of time, that's when they really suffer. So I think that they finish first in the division, and I hope they do because they need to avoid the two Florida teams. So, let's move on. Our last team, the Florida Panthers. Awesome to see the Florida Panthers be good. I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I always like seeing a team just kind of rebuild and be bad forever, and then they finally get their spot. Florida Panthers look amazing and a weird offseason. Like, I don't know how you feel more confident because I think getting Matthew Tkachuk is gigantic. Just straight up for Huberto, but I think that Mackenzie Weegar deal is going to hurt them more than it'll help them. So, Padre, what do you think about the Florida Panthers?
Yeah, I really like the Panthers. I think they're going to get first in the division. I think having Matthew down there now, they've become like a more complete hockey team. Mm-hmm. And Matthew's just such a gamer that in the playoffs, he's going to drag anybody into the fight. He drags everybody in the fight every 82 games of the season. So, while the Huberto thing that people need to understand with the Huberto issue is they weren't going to be able to sign Huberto because of the Bobrovsky contract. That's pretty much the gist of it. And that's why they had to get rid of him and Weegar. And like, if you think about it, Matthew's only 24 years old. And I think Huberto's about to be,
I think straight up, it's very good. Like in that sense, like no argument there. I think it's the Weegar on top because Weegar is a top pairing defenseman, in my opinion.
I think they thought they couldn't sign him either. I think they're in such cap hell because of that Bobrovsky contract, which obviously Bill Zito didn't give out that contract. But I don't know. I like this team. I think Verhaeghe was such a good
ex-Ice Dog. So
yeah,
good.
He was such a good player. I think Sam Bennett has a lot to offer still. Sam Reinhart was real good. I don't know. I really like this team. I think they finished first. I think having a more experienced coach in Paul Maurice will help a lot. Obviously, the weirdest thing was Brunette not being brought back.
I think that's why they lost and they got smoked in the second round.
Yeah.
Because I like Quenneville should not be in the league for, you know, until he serves his time or whatever. for the whole Chicago thing. But if Quinville was the head coach,
they
like,
wouldn't have lost.
I don't. They wouldn't have lost like how Tampa. How Tampa? Because Brunett just kind of looked at like. Just like, oh, I don't know what to do. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's just what Tampa just came out and just crushed them. So, yeah, like, I think they're going to be phenomenal. And that, man, it sucks because, yeah, I don't know if they thought Spencer Knight would be as good as he is, as quick as he is. Like, as quick as goalies take forever, so you never know. But his deal is up after the season, his entry level. And that Bobrovsky deal, you can't buy out $40 million left.
I said when they made that deal, it was awful.
You don't like, win. I mean, yeah.
You don't pay a goalie that much. I mean, Tampa proved me wrong with the Vasilevsky thing, but they always
their players are on.
Yeah, it's so different. You don't pay a goalie that much. And then especially a goalie, it's going to be, 37, 38 when it's over? Mm-hmm. Like, that's just destroying them.
I think they made that signing because they wanted to show, like, that they could get someone. Because I remember they were trying to get both him and Panarin.
Yeah.
Like that was like they were really trying to do that.
That was the rumor. Yeah.
Anton Lundell though, great like first round pick for them. Like looks like he's actually going to be an NHL player. Like
he's a stud.
I'm really curious to see how, because Tkachuk is a perfect like power forward, one of the best in the game. But again, his offensive output, there is a clear like significant jump last year, and they played on the best line in hockey. What do you expect from Matthew Tkachuk? In point wise this season, Padre?
90 to 100 points again.
Again,
I think,
really?
I think yeah, I mean I think Barkov's, I mean he's better than Lindholm.
That's true. Yeah, you're right. I guess Barkov is better than Lindholm.
Yeah, I am curious to see because Duclair's out with an injury.
Yeah.
And I am curious to see if they'll use any of that cap space that they put on LTIR, but I wonder about Eric Staal. I mean, he's not gonna do a ton, but I wonder about him making the team just because it's you don't sign PTOs usually unless you have like a good idea like what's going
they
on.
They know.
And with his brother being there on an actual contract, mm-hmm. I'm curious to see if Eric Staal makes a team. It's just an interesting team, and I really like them. Like the thing is, from Florida to Tampa to Toronto, I mean, it's the regular season, right? So I could see any of the teams finishing 1-3. I just think I'm going to go with Florida because I like their goaltending tandem the most too. I think both those guys are capable of winning. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter who they play.
Toronto needs to win the division. Oh, now, sure. Like thinking about it, like dude, like they can't go up against Tampa or Florida. Like I think,
and you know, both those teams will do something at the deadline.
Oh yeah, Tampa for sure. And that's the thing. I remember last year Florida because Florida's team looked heavy and they were. It did that like that. I think that they would have beaten Toronto easier than Tampa did because Tampa's more of like a skill-based team, obviously. And I think that suits Toronto because they can run a gun so much. And but man, yeah, like Ryan Lomberg is an absolute force too. Like now getting Tkachuk,
do you think about Balcers? You saw him in San Jose.
So this was like he actually wasn't half bad. Like he was brought back, I believe he's part of the initial Carlson deal. Mm-hmm. Like had like a 30-40 point player like type of player, but Greer went in and was like, who wants to be here? Who wants to win? And I guess like from Bugner, like, and everyone just said that Balcers kind of did not seem to want to have, it doesn't have the motor, like that motivation that really need, cause the Sharks need to have guys that are just trying to win at all costs. Cause they don't have the skill for it. I think he's perfect for Florida. That's it. Like he's a perfect player for Florida. Cause he's going to play in the bottom six and he'll do just fine. So, you think they win the division, Padre?
Yeah, that's my guess. I think I'm curious to see too with guys like Colin White and see some of these guys like on some prove it deals. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, Sam Bennett turned into a whole new player when he went down there. Yep. You know, it's crazy. It found like an offensive game in him. I love Gustav Forsling on the back end. Super, super underrated. You know, I don't know. I just like this team a lot.
What about you, Badre? I mean, Kessup.
Yeah, I got them at third. I think the 1-3 is a toss up between any of those teams. I like how this team's built. I think the trade made them worse in like the 1 year time frame, but better long term. Mm-hmm. It makes them better for the playoffs, I think, for sure.
I am
interested in seeing Tkachuk's like point output though, because like
I say 80s.
Obvious. So I was thinking like if it goes down, it's not going to be that he had a worse season. It's just like a way more efficient season, especially with Barkov at center, right? Because you know that the line's just going to shut everybody down.
Yep. No, I agree. And he's only 9.5. Like, and a point per game player at 9.5, I think is fine.
Yeah. You know? Well, it's weird because we saw this like crazy scoring increase in the NHL the last year or two.
It is.
Like so many people had career years last year.
Yep.
And I guess we're expecting it to stay like that. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. There wasn't really any big changes rule-wise or anything like that that kind of opened it up. But I will have them finishing third right behind Tampa. I think it'll be very close. I think, again, those three all. I want to see the Battle of Florida again. I think those are. I wish Tampa or Florida put up a fight against Tampa because 2 years ago, man, like that looked like a team that just wanted to win against Tampa, mm-hmm. and they just couldn't because they weren't as skilled. But now they definitely have the horses. So there are our predictions for the Atlantic Division, which I think is the best division in hockey. We agree with that.
Yeah,
I think so.
Or the Central, I don't know.
Yeah, or the Central, he says. All right, guys. So that's gonna do it for our Atlantic Division preview. Next week we're gonna have to get into some training camp stories and stuff.
Uh-oh, yeah. Watch out.
That's it, man. And we've got some pretty good guests lined up as well. So I'm pretty excited for that. And as of this recording, you should start getting it back on audio. So stay tuned for that as well, because it looks like we've got that all squared away. So thank you guys again for listening and watching. Leave your comments on the YouTube video down below. We'll go through them all like we always do. Padre just combs through them. He sees them all, and he lets us know. So I'm sure there'll be lots of Leafs fans that we're going to be battling with. All right, guys. We'll see you guys next time. Have a good one.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.